Hey, I want to thank all those who have been serving all through the weekend. Somebody did a great job, I assume, Kelly Keck, and those who have worked with her to decorate our auditorium and the various places around the building. Thank you so much for that. And then another team who got ready for Living Nativity and got that all set up. Then another group working on having things ready for the stewardship celebration tonight. And it really is a privilege to serve with folks who take serving God so seriously. So thank you for all that was done to get ready for this weekend and the coming days of ministry together. A few weeks ago, our country witnessed something that has not occurred for over 30 years. That is the brutal murder of one of our nation's sitting ambassadors. Of course, we'd all be quick to say that it's tragic whenever anybody representing this country loses his or her life, which is why we took a few moments last week to honor our veterans and to pray for all of our active military personnel and all of our civil servants. But the significance is even enhanced when we're talking about an ambassador because of the nature of that person's identity and role. Christopher Stevens was in Libya representing our government and our nation, and our ideals. So the attack in Benghazi, it was not just on an individual. It was an attack on our country. And some of the people involved understand that all too well. It goes at the very issue of the significance of the position of ambassador. Ambassador. Recently, I've been reading a book entitled In the Garden of Beasts by Eric Larson. It's a story of Ambassador William E. Dodd, who was the chairman of the History Department at the University of Chicago in 1933. And on June 8th, Dodd received a call from President Franklin Roosevelt asking he and his family to leave his post in Chicago and become an ambassador for the United States. And I realized, you might say, well, that sounds like a pretty boring book to me. Well, hear me out. Roosevelt was asking Dodd and his family to move to Berlin and become the ambassador to Germany during the ascendancy of a man whose name you might recognize, Adolf Hitler. And that's the point of the title of the book, In the Garden of Beasts. What was it like to be an ambassador of this country and have repeated personal meetings with Hitler and his generals to try to represent our beliefs and our values to them before it was too late? Just like the sad case of Christopher Stevens, it illustrates the unique significance and potential influence of somebody who is serving as an ambassador. Now, here's why I'm raising those two examples this morning. Thankfully, God's Word uses a series of pictures, a series of metaphors to help us understand what it means to actually be a follower of Christ. And one of the critical metaphors to know and to understand is that we're called to be, you want to guess? Yeah, ambassadors for Christ. Now think about that. Just like William Dodd and Christopher Stevens and so many others have been ambassadors for the United States of America, we're called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. What an incredible trust. You realize that God could have bypassed all of us, and he could have accomplished his plan directly and without the concern that people like you and me might hinder the task in some way. But God has given us a tremendous trust, a stewardship as his own ambassadors. And the question I would like us to consider is, how faithful are we being to that trust? And what would growing stewardship look like in the days to come? With that in mind, please open your Bible this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's on page 142 of the back section of the Bible under the chair in front of you if you need that this morning. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, or page 142 of the back section of the Bible under the chair in front of you. Today we're landing the plane on this series we do each fall on the stewardship of life. And as we've been explaining, stewardship is such a broad topic in the Word of God. It literally involves everything that God has entrusted to you. So we could talk about the stewardship of your mind, or the stewardship of your tongue, or the stewardship of your body, the stewardship of your marriage, the stewardship of your family, the stewardship of your job. Certainly involves the stewardship of your time, of your talents, your treasures. It's practically endless. So historically, we use these weeks just prior to Thanksgiving to think about all the ways that God has helped us to be faithful to that trust as individuals and as a church. Now, why do we do it? Well, several reasons. One, we want to be sure that we're offering God praise and thanks for anything that has been accomplished through our lives this year that has been good, right? We want to be sure we're thanking Him. To God be the glory, great things He has done with anything we might have gotten right as individuals or as a church in the last year. We ought to be thanking God for that. Stewardship involves that. And then looking to the future, because nobody here has arrived. Right? And nobody here is perfect on either side of this pulpit. So we want to honestly and humbly and authentically ask the question, what's the next step? What does growing stewardship look like in the coming days? And then we believe this. It's good to make commitments. You agree with that? Absolutely. I'm surprised everybody did not shout out a chorus of amens when I said that. It is good to make commitments. It is good to formulate a plan. It is good to write it down. Ain't it? Yeah. Like a milestone, like a stake in the ground, that with the help of God and to the glory of Christ, we intend to get better in these specific ways in the next year together. And many of us would say that stewardship month over the years is one of the powerful tools in our effort to try to grow and change. I want to thank our pastoral staff members. We decided at the beginning of the year that this year we would share the preaching opportunities during stewardship month. And just for a lot of reasons, I believe that it's very wise and very healthy for a church like us to have a team of capable leaders. God has blessed us in that way for sure, and I appreciate them. I appreciate their families and all that they do for God around here. So they've done a good job this month. Well, this morning, I'd like to conclude this study by talking about growing stronger in your outreach. And what does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ? And by the way, if you follow along in these handouts, you'll notice that the handout in your bulletin is the same as last week. That's because Pastor Garner's sermon was so life-changing. We just reproduced the outline again. The one that I'm going to be using was actually folded up and put in there. It's just like a last-minute random insert. That is essentially what I am. But we're talking about it. It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz. Don't pay attention to the one in the bulletin. What does it mean to be a ambassador for Jesus Christ? Now let's dig into this text and listen. Ask the Holy Spirit right now to help you lock onto this passage, because this is like way important, way important. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 16. Therefore, we don't lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that this earthly tent, that's your body, which is our house, is torn down. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan. Boy, that's true, isn't it? Thing aches all over the place. Longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we're in this tent, this body, we groan, being burdened, because we don't want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that which is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us his Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, notice that several times in this text, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. We're of good courage. There it is again. I say it, prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home in the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, and whether at home or absent, dead or alive, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to all he has done, whether good or bad. Is this passage like dripping stewardship or what? Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. There, ambassador time, but were made manifest to God, and I hope that we're made manifest also in your consciences. We're not, again, commending ourselves to you, but we're giving you an occasion to be proud of us so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. We're beside ourselves as for God. There it is. Let's have a little fanaticism around here. We're of sound mind, it's for you, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all. Wow. That therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, here's the summary of it all. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though, listen to this, God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a great passage of Scripture, huh? And with the time we have remaining, let's talk about three aspects of being a faithful ambassador for Christ. And please tell me already, your motor is running, because you want to rev it up for God in the coming days when it comes to being an ambassador. So what in the world does that even mean? Well, let's think first of all about the nature of your calling. We got to understand that. And what does it mean that we are ambassadors for Christ? Now, here's what you need to know. Paul chose a very specific word in order to make this point crystal clear to the Corinthians and to us. If you're going to be an ambassador, even from the meaning of the word, you have to be growing in spiritual maturity. You just have to be. So why would you emphasize that? Well, it's because the word ambassador is the Greek word presbuomen. Aren't you glad that was worth the price of entrance right there? It's the Greek word presbuomen. It literally means old man. That's right. It literally means old man. It's related to the Greek word presbuteros, from which we, of course, get the English word elder. They might say, well, why in that culture and language would the word ambassador be related to the concept of being an old man? Well, think about it. It's because this task and this trust requires a level of maturity. And the last thing you would want is a person involved in diplomacy who is unwise or immature. Now, I realize you might say, wait, I've just recently become a Christian. Good. In fact, we had our intro to faith dinner this past Friday night. We had a just house full of people. And we were doing our testimony time, just sharing with one another. We had several people that said, I am a baby Christian. That's what they said. I'm just a baby Christian. I love that. Absolutely love that. And you might say, old man, I just became a Christian, or I'm a young person. I feel like I have a long way to go. Maybe, Pastor Byers, I'm too young. Maybe I'm too immature to be an ambassador then. Well, hold on a second. Who was this book written to again? To the Corinthians. They were the poster children for being spiritually immature. And if God had to wait until people like you and me had everything figured out before he could use us in his service, he'd be waiting a long time, huh? But there's no question about the fact that if we're going to accomplish this task well, then we have to take this matter of spiritual growth and development seriously. Seriously, that's been the point of our theme this year, of building core strength. And that's also part of what we're trying to emphasize during Stewardship Month. In fact, I would encourage you to open up your bulletin. Just have that baby on your lap. Open to the stewardship commitment portion, because I'm going to be going back and forth from that this morning, or to that this morning. Because I want to be sure that you and that commitment card are becoming fast friends. You feeling it? Oh, man, I love that stewardship commitment card. And I hope you're also saying, I want to become a presbuomen. In fact, if somebody asks you this week, what do you want to be when you grow up? An old man? There's your answer. Yeah, I want to be a presbuomen. I want to be an old woman. because I understand that in order to accomplish this task of representing Christ well, here's the point of it, I have to be growing. I have to be on that. I have to be growing in Christ myself. Now, what about the person who would say, well, I can't focus on that right now because I'm busy getting my degree and that is consuming all my time. What would we say to a person like that? Yeah, you got your priorities like all wrong. You need to knock that off, and today would be a really good day to start. And here's why. Listen to the scripture. But seek first, here it is, you got to be an old man. You got to get on the issue of growing. And seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's why you need to get some time in your Bible before you worry about studying for that chemistry exam. That's it. I said that. Tell your chemistry professor I said that. I'll sign you a note. Seek first his kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, the person will say, well, I need to get married, and my girlfriend is consuming all my time and my attention, so I can't work on my spiritual growth and development right now. Therefore, I can't be much of an ambassador. What would we say to a person like that? Get up here so we can whack you upside the head. You got to be busy growing in Christ first, or you're going to be a poor husband or a poor wife. Seek first his kingdom. Well, I need to land a job, and there's no reason to get too serious about Christianity until I figure out where I'm going to be in the long term. Blah, blah, blah. You hear how lame all that sounds in the light of day in the Lord's house on the Lord's day? Absolutely. You know that guy on the Ford commercial who... he puts his finger in that guy's dirty oil, and he sticks it up in your face right there on your TV, and he says, change your oil. You know that guy? Makes you want to go change it right away? Well, here's me in a friendly way saying, complete your stewardship commitment card. Yeah, it'll help you adjust your priorities and your ability to fulfill this responsibility of being an ambassador for Christ. Regardless of how old you are in the Lord and regardless of how old you are chronologically is dependent on that. Now, what else flows out of this metaphor of being in it? We can find some more stuff here, you think? We're also talking about people who are living in a foreign land. And I realize you might say, you know, I don't necessarily care for the people I work with. I don't necessarily like my neighbors. I don't like my extended family members. I don't really want to be an ambassador to them. You know, you might be the kind of person who says something. I've been hearing about this more and more as I travel around the country. I'm hearing Christian people say this. You know, people just wear me out. People wear me out. Tell that to William Dodd and the assignment he had to represent Roosevelt to Adolf Hitler. And who are we kidding? Of course we're going to feel out of place in certain ways in our present assignment. That's why Paul said our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But while we're waiting, we have an urgent task to accomplish. And the differences and the challenges of those around us that ought to motivate us and energize us, not cause us to duck our heads in the sand and hope it's all going to pass. They're bombing Israel, for crying out loud. Iran is trying to develop additional nuclear capabilities. Do we get the urgency of the task that God has given us? I hope so. I hope so. Thank the Lord also we're representing a marvelous king. We're not just ambassadors, we're ambassadors for Christ. And that's where the human metaphor begins to break down. I mean, one of the challenges William Dodd had was there was a fair amount of anti-Semitism on the part of our government in the 1930s. And so not everybody appreciated what Dodd was trying to do with Hitler, and Dodd was even somewhat conflicted himself about what to do with what many people in that culture all around the world were referring to as the Jewish problem. That's what they called it, even here in the United States. Well, we all know what Nazi Germany eventually did with the Jewish problem. And I'm suggesting to you that the challenge that Dodd faced in part as an ambassador was... there were some people, even in this country, who were not exactly innocent on that matter. He was an ambassador for a very imperfect country and a very imperfect president. Well, thank God we don't have that, huh? We're ambassadors for a perfect king. We're ambassadors for one who is reaching out to others with terms of peace, the sinless, righteous, holy Son of God. We're representing a marvelous King and proclaiming a unique message. See, fundamentally, we need to understand this culturally. Sending an ambassador in that culture was a goodwill demonstration of a desire to live in harmony with the other party. The ambassador was saying, our king doesn't want to be at war with you. He wants a cessation of hostilities, and here are his terms of peace. That's the very essence of the gospel, that by admitting your need and placing your faith and trust in what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, you can be reconciled to him and therefore live in a state of peace with the very King of Kings. What a great calling. What a great message we have been given. Now, what happens? I mean, I've been talking to you especially about verse 20 right now, but what happens if we back up and think about this in light of the context that we read? I started in chapter 4, verse 16, on purpose. We could say it this way. We're ambassadors for Christ with a focus on eternity. I hope you have that. And verse 1 said, we know that this earthly tent, that's our body, it's going to be torn down. These bodies are getting older. They're wasting away. I did a funeral yesterday for my childhood friend, and Mikey Sheets is 53 years old. About a couple of years ago, he showed up, stood right there, right next to me while I was getting ready to preach. He and my other childhood friend, Chucky Dolman, showed up here at church a couple of years ago just to surprise me. We had a great time together. Chucky and I, yesterday, we had the responsibility of attending, and I had the responsibility of conducting Mikey's funeral. Died of a heart attack, 53 years old. If we don't have a focus on eternity, I'm really not sure what it would take. There's a limited amount of time for us and those we're called to serve. It's not just us, it's the people that need an ambassador now. Now. Well, that puts our suffering then in perspective. That's why Paul had said, we don't lose heart, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension. And you might say, what does that have to do with what we're talking about this morning? Here's the answer. Friends, sometimes the greatest ambassadorial opportunities come in the crucible of suffering. And for those who have a long-range view of life, we cautiously say, Lord, if my going through this trial could potentially help me be a more effective ambassador for Christ, that's what I want. God's people need to stop this lame, I want an easy assignment. And God's people need to stop being so comfortable with the word no. God's people need a sense of urgency. And God's people need to get off of the, I want to be comfortable and convenient. I want an assignment where there's the potential of being effective for God while I have the opportunity to do so. And I know some of you, you're pushy. To which I would say, well, you're stubborn. I'm glad we now understand one another. And I'm saying that with a little bit of a smile on my face. But friends, we got to get to a better place. That's what Stewardship Month is all about. I'm glad for where we are. And now I'm looking forward, and I hope you are too, to getting to a better place. That's part of what gives us confidence for today. It's because of the hope for tomorrow. Twice in this chapter, Paul said, be of good courage in verse 6 and verse 8. And we know that for followers of Christ, sorry, I got a little ahead of myself there. We prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. And so there are difficulties and challenges that come with representing our King in this foreign land. Bring that on. Because just like, you remember the old hymn, soon and very soon. Can you finish that for me? If we're going to see the King, we're going to see the King, and we want to faithfully serve him as ambassadors for Christ while we have the opportunity to do so. And I just want to ask you, do you believe what we're talking about this morning? Do you really? That ought to give us courage for the opportunities that we have today. We're talking about pleasing the King. This statement about being ambassadors is couched in the context of having as our ambition whether dead or alive, to be pleasing to him. And friends, that's what prepares us for the judgment seat of Christ. Someday we're going to be called into account for what we did with our stewardship. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I love what Warren Wiersbe said about that. As a Christian, I don't fear the fire of hell, but I certainly fear the fire of heaven. I'm concerned about the account that I will have to give someday for my stewardship month. That's important for what we're talking about right now, using what God has given to be best prepared for the judgment seat of Christ. Now, let's talk strategy for a minute. How does all that we're studying from this marvelous text of Scripture relate to this theme we've been working on this year of building core strength? We told you at the beginning of the year we were doing what amounted to a ministry-wide audit of how we go about accomplishing ministry, how we go about fulfilling our mission. And part of what has bubbled up is a commitment to be as strong as possible in three aspects of the disciple-making process. One is reaching out to every person who moves into our neighborhood or who visits our church. And we think there ought to be a process, there ought to be a ministry, a system in place to reach out to persons and make it easy for them to connect to the Lord and connect to relationships here. We have to be good at that. We have to be strong. Then, moving sequentially, ongoing soul care, Christian growth. We want to be sure that once a person is a member here, we're offering as many creative resources as possible to help them deepen our walk with Christ, whether they're children, young adults, singles, married folks, widows. That, too, requires a lot of hands serving in order to make sure we're strong there. And then special counseling or more intensive discipleship, because sometimes along the way we get stuck. And we need concentrated help, and we want to be sure that we have those kinds of intensive discipleship opportunities, our counseling resources available, both here and later at Faith West. That's why we're asking you to complete the serving portion of your stewardship commitment card. We're asking you essentially to do three things. What does it take to be a faithful person around this church? Three things. One, to worship Christ. To be faithful to the church services here, to want to worship him with passion. And two, to walk with Christ. In other words, to be in a smaller group, an ABF, a point man group, a ladies' Bible study. So you've got some people around your life with whom you're growing. So you're worshiping Christ, you're walking with Christ, and then thirdly, you're working for Christ. Meaning that you're part of the serving team here. And I believe this, try this on for size. And maybe we need to start thinking about serving around here similar to the way we think about giving. In other words, with our giving, we use some to fund the regular ministries of the church, and then some to fund the bonus or the extra opportunities that God has given us. That's the way I give. I bet that's the way you do too. You get that little envelope and you give your regular tithes. That supports the regular ministries of this church. But because God has given us a bunch of bonuses, now, like Vision of Hope, like our community center, like our seminary, et cetera, et cetera. Many of us, we go back around there again, and we're glad God has given that to us, and we're more than happy to step up and do what is required in order to make that happen as well. I want to encourage you to think about serving the exact same way. In other words, I want to be part of making the regular ministries of our church family run well. Everything you have to have in order to make worship possible on Sundays, all these children's ministries, technology ministries, music ministries, etc. Everything we do on Wednesday nights around here to try to help people grow. And so I want to encourage you to think about what am I doing in order to serve in that? And then the second pass around is for the extra things that God has given us to do. Now, if you say, Pastor Vives, I really don't know where to start, this would be a great blessing. Take out this card, and on the back of it, write these words, wherever I'm needed. There you go, wherever I'm needed. And make a decision right now based on the Bible, not based on me, based on the Bible, what we have just been studying, that when you get a call from someone who says, I would like you to serve in this particular way, what's the answer going to be? Yes. In fact, let me just hear, I just want to know, can people say that word anymore in this culture? We'd like you to serve for Christ. What's your answer? Absolutely. And unless Jesus whispers in your ear 25 strong reasons why you ought to say no, the answer from now on is absolutely. Now, right now, you say nobody would ever be crazy enough to do that. Oh, yes, they would. Let me introduce you to some crazy folks right now. Brian and Carolyn Barrett, who were asked to take on a very important ministry of this church, even though they're relatively new. They've done a fabulous job. Praise God for them. May their tribe increase. I want you to hear from what Brian and Carolyn have to say.
Good morning. We're the Barretts. I'm Brian, and this is my wife, Carolyn. We've been attending Faith since April of 2010, and our youngest son, Alex, is a freshman here at the school. We've been married a little over 23 years, and in the sovereignty of God, didn't realize until after we were married that we were in the same Sunday school picture in the first grade. You see, we both came to know the Lord later in life at the age of 36. Fast forward a few years, and God had placed it on our hearts that we needed to be finding a church body where we could serve, grow, and get connected. We had heard of Faith, but had never visited or had any information about the church. Keep in mind that we live just a short distance from the church and presently in the current outreach of Project Jerusalem. We visited Faith and were greeted by many individuals and welcomed like we'd been attending for years. The outpouring of kindness was evident from the moment we walked through the doors the first time and every time afterwards. If you've been around Faith for even a short while, you know there are many opportunities to serve. And while those of the church and those in the church need to be met, what about those outside the church that just need to know the love of Jesus? Maybe even our new neighbors around the church. After joining the church later that fall, I signed up for Monday night biblical counseling training, and I felt like I jumped into the deep end of the pool. It was like drinking out of a fire hose. But what I learned and where my heart still rests is that there are so many hurting individuals outside the church that have no hope, don't know where to turn, and simply need to know the love of Christ. Our family is like any other, and we experience the same life trials, and we've been able to rest in Romans 8:28, which says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." But there are still many others outside the church that need to have that same assurance and peace. One of our prayers has been that we would be able to serve together in a capacity where there was a need. When we were approached to consider being the coordinators of Project Jerusalem, which is simply put, an outreach to new neighbors and welcoming them to the area, it didn't hit us for some time that we were actually serving in, along with others in one of the same areas that brought us to Faith in the beginning.
Through the ministry, we have heard many stories by those serving and have been part of many where the neighbors that is being greeted has expressed extreme gratitude and thankfulness for our church's outreach and generosity. Some use the community center, some the daycare, the food pantry, students who are planning to attend, and yes, even visited a current church member.
I do remember another one evening when Mrs. Byers and my wife went out together to deliver packets, and I pulled into the neighborhood to deliver packets myself, and I saw my wife's car there, but I didn't find either one of them. 45 minutes later, still no sign of them, and I started to wonder what the conversation with Pastor Byers was going to look like. I don't know where your mother and my wife are. However, they'd spent almost an hour with a kind lady who had just moved in and was excited for their visit. Normally, visits are just a few minutes, and with the mini service, we've been able to reach out to over 120 new neighbors. Hawthorne's property's occupancy is now at 61%, and even though each of them have already received a welcome letter from Faith at the time they signed their lease, there are still many opportunities to serve our new neighbors in the future with their Welcome to the Area packets.
We personally have been provided an opportunity for growth by stepping out of our comfort zone, including meeting many new people and attending ABFs and giving short presentations about the ministry. Even though it may not have been easy in the beginning, we realize that each of us are simply the instruments, and we don't know what the circumstances are of the person on the other side of the door. And a brief visit from one of our members giving them a gift card and some information on the church and community center and letting them know that our church feels that we are called to be a blessing to those around us and may be the one point of connection that they need to the other ministries within the church.
I read a devotional once that summarized the message by saying that we were made like rubber bands so that we could bend, change, and be stretched beyond what we think is possible for God's will. He has shown us that while the stretch may seem difficult or even uncomfortable at times, nothing is impossible with God. We'd like to thank each of the pastors for their instruction they provide to help each of us become better equipped to serve. And our encouragement to you, if you've been considering an area to serve in, just try and see what growth God has planned for you. Thank you.
Great stuff, huh? Aren't you thankful for people like Brian and Carolyn? And they are busy people. They had every reason in the world when we contacted them with that important responsibility to say, what's the cuss word we're never saying around here anymore? Yeah, to say no. But they said yes, and they took that responsibility on. I have the view that if a church like this has so many people moving in right around us in high-density housing, it would be wrong for us. If we believe what we've been reading in this text, it would be wrong for us not to have a ministry to try to reach out to them. And Brian and Carolyn and those who are working with them have done a fabulous job, and I'm so very, very thankful for them. See, that's what it means to, let's not talk about ambassador in some ethereal way. That's what it looks like. Now, what else can we learn from this passage? We talked about the nature of your calling. Let's talk about the significance of your calling for a moment. Now, the text says, God is making an appeal through you. Are you hearing that? Are you letting the word get into you deep this morning? As though God were making an appeal. What an unbelievable concept. It may remind you of this great text, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Please contemplate what that means. When we're serving as an ambassador, it's like God is making an appeal through us. It's like Christ living in us. What's that look like right now? What's that look like right now? Well, there's dozens of faithful people in the nursery. You know that? Holding babies, caring for babies, singing to bury babies, and all that other stuff that goes on with babies. That's part of being part of the ambassadorial team. And then those little babies are going to transition at some point into children's ministries. And what does that child find? More compassionate ambassadors, representatives of Christ, teaching the word in creative and age-appropriate ways. Now, do you believe this right now? That there are supernatural transactions taking place there, where God is making an appeal to those young hearts. And who wouldn't want to be used that way? It doesn't matter if it's convenient or pleasant. If we really believe what we're studying this morning, we're going to be all over those kind of opportunities. And I would just ask you this morning, would your life suggest that you understand that when you serve as an ambassador, God can actually be making an appeal through you? Do you have anything in your life that's more exciting than that? I can't imagine what it would be. We had a great example of that in the paper on Tuesday. I was so glad for this article. I hope you saw it about Pete's Pals. That's a program for special needs kids organized by some folks at Purdue, and they had trouble finding a place to host it, and we've been able to do that because our church family sacrificed to build the community center together because there's a lot of folks around here who are on with what we're talking about this morning of being ambassadors and being an ambassadorial church. The story featured a young man named Riley Von Tobel. Our family knows Riley. He plays on our son Drew's softball team. What a great way to try to demonstrate the love of Christ because of the generous sacrificial giving of the people of God, where God is making an appeal to people in our community through you. It's significant. Another emphasis in this text is that God is worthy of respectful fear. See, I don't like a God like that. Well, it doesn't matter. We believe in Scripture here, and the text says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Stewards understand that, just like Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In fact, thinking about motivation for being an ambassador, we agree with this too. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God if we're not prepared. And I understand, ultimately, every person in our community and every person in our world is going to have to decide what they believe about Christ. But just like Paul said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Is that where you're coming from? Woe is me if I'm not an ambassador, like every week. Woe is me if I'm not finding opportunities to be a good steward of this particular challenge and privilege that God has given me. Paul also said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God help us be faithful ambassadors, huh? I would also point this out. I really do believe this. God's worthy of a bit of fanaticism. I believe that. The text says, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Why is it you can paint your face blue and go down and watch the Colts and be viewed as perfectly normal? Or put a cheese thing on your head if you cheer for that other goofy team. But if you want yourself and your church to be faithful ambassadors, some label that as being beside yourself. If that's what it means to be beside yourself, bring it on. Don't you hope that after you're gone and your kids look at your checkbook, they say that dad and mom were devoted to the proclamation of the gospel? And if your kids love God, they'll be thankful for that. And if they don't, who cares what they say about your checkbook? Don't you hope when they talk about your schedule, they'll say the same thing? And you say, well, shouldn't there be a balance? Of course. In fact, next year we're doing a strategic planning process, and we're going to do zero-based strategic planning, meaning we're going to look at everything around here. In fact, we're going to decide if we're going to continue to do the Living Nativity. We're going to decide if we're going to continue to do the Passion Play. We're not wanting to have unreasonable expectations in the lives of our people, but I really do believe this. We have many faithful ambassadors in this church, and we have many who it's time to get to the next place. Time to get to the next place. That's why what we're doing in Stewardship Month is so important. I really do believe this. If everybody does a little, then no one has to do a lot. There it is. It's amazing, by the way, how God blesses us if we're really all about being faithful ambassadors. You may remember when we bought this property over at Faith West. That's a site plan of the 6.4 acres that we bought and are developing. We paid $1.8 million for it. We had that little L portion that wasn't really part of what we were planning, and so we put that on the market to sell. And we have a signed purchase agreement now for $500,000 on that corner. God blessed you this week. And I can't say exactly who it is yet as they do their due diligence, but I'm just simply saying when you want to be all about being an ambassador, it's amazing how God will choose to bless you. Have you been watching this? That's the Safe Haven home right next to Vision of Hope. That thing is going up out of the ground. I want to thank Barry Redding. I want to thank Jeff Brand, Mike Wilson, Arvid, a lot of people working on that. A Japanese car plant gave us the funding in order to build a home on our campus for victims of domestic violence and fire and flood. So we can, in collaboration with our city and the Red Cross, serve victims in that way. And I'm just simply saying, when you do your part, wanting to be an ambassador, God will do his in a big way. Now, so much more in this passage than our time allows this morning, but I do want you to think about this. Think about the intensity of your calling. This text says, we're begging on behalf of Christ. We beg you on behalf of the Lord, be reconciled to God, because the love of Christ, that's what's controlling us. That's what's motivating us. The love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. If the job of an ambassador is to explain the terms of peace, then what is our explanation? It's that the price of sin is infinite, but that God sent his Son to die in our place as an act of incredible mercy and grace, and now there really is new life available here and now. And if all of that is true, there's nothing fanatical or inappropriate about begging others in behalf of Christ. And I would just say to you this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, we want to beg you to do that today. We're not beyond begging. We want to beg you today to place your faith and trust in Him. If you have done that, have you ever demonstrated it publicly by believer's baptism? If not, you need to do that. I love you. You need to do that. You need to identify yourself with a local church that's trying to be ambassadorial, that's trying to be passionate about outreach. And you have one last opportunity to do that, one more church family night yet this year. Send me an email. We'll be happy to get that organized, but we would love to have you be part of that team. That's also why I really want to encourage you to be part of the stewardship celebration tonight. Are you planning to come? I believe it would be offensive to God for this church family to scatter to the winds without looking for corporate opportunity to thank God for all he's done this year. He's blessed a lot of us. He's helped many be stewards, and we need to praise him for that. In fact, that's our church's 25-year growth graph. We are on track to have a record year. In fact, it looks like we're going to have received over 200 new members, 70 of them by baptism this year. That will actually make this the largest growth year in the history of this church. Now, that's because a lot of people who have been faithful ambassadors. That's because a lot of folks have been working very, very hard. And I believe we need to get together tonight, don't you? What in the world are you going to be doing tonight anyway, for crying out loud? I want to encourage you to get one of those tickets. They're free. I want to encourage you to have you and your family over at the community center tonight, and we're going to celebrate. We are going to celebrate what God has done. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. And if you say, well, I'm not ready to complete the financial portion, just complete the part of it that you want. But before we scatter to the winds, let's, as a church family, be the kind of people who make some commitments, drive some stakes in the ground, because commitments are good, aren't they? If what we're talking about in this passage is true, then making commitments as individuals and as a church are very, very good. And let me just close with this. God will bless us as we do. I do believe that. In fact, think about this text as we conclude, where Paul said, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. God's able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed, as is written. He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Stand with me, would you? Father in heaven, thank you for calling us to be ambassadors for Christ. My, oh, my, oh, my. And Lord, forgive us for letting silly things get in the way of that. And I do pray that you would help us be people who take a good hard look, good hard look, and make whatever adjustments need to be made, so that we can be growing stewardships of the proclamation of the gospel. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.